live.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Our first opportunity to talk to this candidate for governor, former Democratic State Senator Betsy Johnson, now running as an independent or, well, actually, Betsy, what's the actual term you're going with in your run for governor?
Non-affiliated.
There we go.
There is an independent party in Oregon, capital I. I'm running without party affiliation.
So let's talk about your overall background. Tell folks about your life, your career, your government service so far.
Sure, I'm happy to do that. I'm a native Oregonian. I was born in Bend, grew up in Redmond, went away to school, came back. I'd learned to fly airplanes and helicopters when I was young. I knew that I wasn't going to be a lawyer after going to law school, and so I started a helicopter company. And we did all sorts of things. We fought fires. We rescued hikers. We did multiple missions pre-eruption and post-eruption. And frankly, I flew during the eruption at Mount St. Helens. I always thought that flying over an active volcano was good training for politics and certainly has steeled me to run for governor. So I ran the helicopter company for 20 years, sold it to a competitor. That freed me up to be the state aeronautics administrator for 5 years, which is a fancy title for a mid-level bureaucrat toiling in the bowels of the bureaucracy. Oregon has 30 airports and it needs a manager, so I manage those airports. At the end of that, the seat in the House was open. I just left a board that prohibited partisan politics. And so I was free of that stricture. The seat was open, ran for the House, got elected to the House 3 times. 10 days into my third term, the senator got a job that caused her to quit the Senate. And I was unanimously appointed by 23 county commissioners to fill her seat. And I've earned elections since my departure from the Senate in mid-December.
And you're based out of where in Northwest Oregon?
My home is in Scappoose. My office is actually at the Scappoose. I call it the Scappoose International Airport. And so my office is in a hangar there at the airport where it's been since the late 70s.
So what caused you to run for the legislature originally?
Well, I've had a front row run originally. I came from a family where public service was valued and practiced. My father served in the legislature as a moderate Republican for 7 terms. During the McCall years, he retired from the legislature and came home and was mayor of Redmond when he was stricken with a fatal heart attack and died. My mother served 4 governors, Republicans and Democrats, on policy level boards and commissions dealing with education, notably the State Board of Higher Education and the Education Coordinating Commission. And so I always knew at some point that I wanted to run for the legislature. I thought I had something to offer. I'd followed the example of my father, who was a problem-solving, hands-on, constituent-oriented legislator. And it's turned out that I'm pretty damn good at it. And so that's what originally motivated me.
So what do you think was your most proud accomplishment during your time in the House and then the Senate?
Well, there are 4 things that stand out. One of them is after horrible floods in Vernonia, I spearheaded the effort to rebuild the schools there. Our little motto was build a school, save a town. I protected a river in Central Oregon from unbridled development, and I believe may have actually protected the resources in its entirety. I spearheaded the creation of a job training and manufacturing research center called OMIC, the Oregon Manufacturing Innovation Center in Columbia County. And I've been involved in creating a new model for a homeless shelter at what was an abandoned prison in Multnomah County, and we have turned it into a welcoming place of recovery and refuge and reintegration into society, moving people from the horror of the streets into safe housing and then durable recovery and reintegration into their communities. So those are 4 things that stand out. But I would say if you asked any of my colleagues, Republican or Democrat, they would attest to the fact that our office had gold stars for the kind of constituent services that we did. I've gotten people insulin. I've gotten people living in their cars into shelter. I've gotten, an abandoned body out of a derelict cemetery and interred. We did all kinds of constituent services. Every time the phone rang, it wasn't, are you a Democrat or a Republican? It's, if you live in Senate District 16, how can we help you? We must have done close to 1,000 unemployment claims. And I think I had staff second to none, including my active involvement in case management. We fixed stuff.
So after all that time in the legislature, why run for governor and why do it as a non-affiliated candidate?
Well, I think by any measure, Oregon is in trouble right now, and I'm really running to clean this mess up. I want to put people back in charge, not the two parties with the loudest, most extreme voices. I firmly believe that the parties are no longer the solution to our problems. They are the problem. And as governor, I would lead with the best ideas from both parties. I mean, it's all you need to do is just look around at Oregon. We're good at legalizing drugs. We're bad at educating and graduating our kids. We're not going to solve these problems without a big change in our politics and a big change in our leadership. And so absent being tied to the philosophy of either of the two parties, I don't think there's a bigger change Oregon can make this year than electing a governor who's loyal only to the people of Oregon.
So if you're elected, what are some of the first things you'd be working on?
Well, first of all, is get control of this homelessness and the rising crime, starting in Portland. Oregon cannot succeed if Portland fails, and Portland is failing right now. And that's not to say that I would focus on Portland. I wouldn't. But homelessness and crime are becoming problems across our state. We got to get people off the streets and into shelters and ending tent cities that are unsafe and inhumane. We need to fix our schools. They're failing too many of our kids. This means higher standards, not lower standards. We have terrible graduation rates, and we've got to turn this around and undo the damage we did during COVID when we shut the schools down. We got to make Oregon more affordable, especially for people living paycheck to paycheck. The cost of housing is especially concerning for me. I think we have a housing affordability crisis because we have a housing supply crisis. And last, I want to make well-fed state government work for people, not keep letting them down when they need it. And so I think we need some pretty systemic change in some of our functions of government. So those are the early things.
What about the state budget? What priorities would you have if elected?
Well, one of them is to take a serious look at how we're spending money. Do we have big, bold plans to deal with big, bold problems? Or are we just throwing money and hoping we can fix stuff? If I sat down on an airplane right now and somebody sat next to me and said, what's your statewide plan for deploying broadband? I'm not sure I could explain it. We don't have a comprehensive homeless strategy. We have spent an awful lot of money, and I don't think we've got the outcomes to show for it. So I would want to comb through state budgets to make sure that when we're spending money, we're spending it efficaciously. We've got results to show for it. The taxpayers are getting value for their money. And having been a budget writer since my freshman year in the legislature, I know those budgets backwards and forwards. And it would be a delight to be able to comb through them and pull out the extraneous stuff that serves no real purpose and get down to serving Oregonians meaningfully.
What about areas of the state budget where you would be adding money? For instance, there have been calls to re-energize more staff to the Oregon State Police.
Oh, absolutely. As co-chair of Ways and Means, I shoveled money into OSP. I am an unapologetic supporter of the Oregon State Patrol and, in fact, law enforcement at every level. I don't care whether it's municipal, county sheriff. And you guys down in the southern part of the state have the unique problem of the proliferation of illegal activities in and around those massive marijuana grows that are despoiling the environment, are using water, I believe, illegally and certainly not in conformity with environmental standards, human trafficking, and just flat-out crime. I would make it a priority to make sure public safety and law enforcement had all the resources they need, not just bodies, but equipment, training, everything they need to try to retake our streets.
All right, back in a moment with more. Former State Senator Betsy Johnson, non-affiliated candidate for governor of Oregon. They interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County at 1245. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1246, Lars Larson coming at 1. Later, it's the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. Another candidate interview tomorrow. We'll be talking to Republican Jessica Gomez, running for governor. On with us today, non-affiliated candidate, former Democratic State Senator Betsy Johnson, who's from the Scappoose area. What about looking back over your time in Oregon? Some people look back over the decades and feel like the state is much different than what some might call its heyday in the 70s and into the 80s.
Oh, I completely agree. As a little kid, I went with my father down to the legislature. Again, he was a moderate Republican representing Deschutes, Crook, and Jefferson County, and later Deschutes and Eastern Klamath. And those guys would have principled debates on the floor, Republican and Democrat, and then they'd all go down to this dark bar called the Marion Motor Hotel. And they'd sit down there and they'd play cards and they'd drink and they'd talk to each other and they liked each other. A deal was a deal. You could shake hands. They negotiated to a middle point on stuff. And it was out of those halcyon days of the legislature that many people look in the kind of sepia-toned rearview mirror and claim that that's what made Oregon exceptional, that we had Republicans and Democrats that got along, that negotiated with each other, took the best ideas from both parties and delivered to help Oregonians. Now it is so extreme, and the loudest voices on both sides are the ones that are getting the attention and, frankly, polarizing us. Over the past few years, the D's have moved aggressively to the left. The R's have moved way to the right. And I've grown increasingly concerned about the polarization in our state politics, and that's certainly reflected in our national politics. So things are a lot different. And that's one of the reasons that's motivated me to run. We've got to get back to having our Oregon mojo and be proud of the place we live and proud of the processes that develop the laws that govern us.
Talk about the style of leadership you'd bring to the table if you were leading Salem.
Well, nobody's going to claim that I ever won the Miss Congeniality Award in Salem. I'm tough on state agencies and I'm tough on budgets. And that's a reputation I've earned and I'm proud of. I'm no nonsense. I think some of the big projects that I've done that have faced enormous hurdles have benefited from my ability to collaborate, to get people to the table, to give when it's necessary to give, to ask for concessions when it's necessary to get concessions. What I say is what I mean. I don't use a lot of artifice or mincing around words. I think if you asked any of my colleagues in Salem, they'd say that when they're done talking to me, they know exactly where they stand, whether they like the answer or not. I don't use a lot of political artifice. So I'm pretty direct. I'm pretty blunt. I have very high expectations for accountability. I'm pretty fiscally conservative. Some people joke that I'd squeeze a nickel until the buffalo died. But it's a leadership style of what you see is what you get. I'm not using this gubernatorial race as some stepping stone for some other thing or office. As a native daughter of this state, I want to come in and save the state I love. I'm going to do it by just fighting like crazy to get elected. I want to fix stuff. I want to do stuff. I want to surround myself with can-do, want-to, will-do people and get Oregon back on the rails.
Will governing be harder not being part of a party structure?
Oh, I actually think it'll be easier because you have the liberty to select from both parties. You're not bound by the ideology of riding for the brand. I have found being without political party right now truly refreshing. I am not required to be part of a team. I can pick and choose what are the good ideas to push forward without worrying that the rest of the colleagues wearing the same jersey are going to be cranky about it. I think that it's a remarkable opportunity to get Oregon to a place where we can create these bipartisan coalitions, and I think I'm exactly the cat herder to get that done.
Talk about some of the reaction you've seen to your campaign and where your support is coming from.
Well, my support is bipartisan. It's grassroots, and it's some of Oregon's best known business people. Without the money and the machinery of the two parties behind me, I need all the help I can get. And if people are listening to this and they like what they hear, they can go to runbetsyrun.com. If we're going to put people back in charge, people have got to go to runbetsyrun.com and help us. But some of the people that are helping me right now, Phil Knight has been in the news recently. And I would submit there are few people who love Oregon more than Phil Knight. He was born here, went to school here, created an incredible company here. He's working to cure cancer in Oregon. I'm proud to have Phil and many others on my team, including a lot of timber people, and that's a very important industry to Douglas County. So we are way ahead in the money race and are putting together a grassroots organization that will have leadership supporting my candidacy in every one of the Oregon's counties. And we'll be mobilizing those folks to help us get names on signature or signatures on petitions to get me on the ballot. We'll start doing that in June after the primary elections are over and the R's and D's have selected their candidates. And so we'll be out with a petition near you shortly asking you to put Betsy on the ballot. I'm very proud of the fact that I'm coming onto the ballot through the power of people's signatures, not some party apparatus. I am the people's candidate for governor.
Now, as a non-affiliated candidate, talk a little bit more about that process because, as you said, it's not as simple as just filing.
No, it isn't. The two big parties, the R's and the D's, will have their nominating conventions or their nominating elections in May the 17th, to be precise. So the D's will all get a Democrat ballot, and they will select their standard bearer out of a field of about 15 or 16. The R's will all get a Republican ballot, and they will select their candidate out of a field of 17. And then whoever wins those primaries will be the Democrat and the Republican nominee. Right now in Oregon, the Republicans hold about 25% of the registered voters, the Democrats about 30, and the non-affiliateds over 40. Now, that doesn't mean that those non-affiliateds all vote in a block because they are a kind of mixed bag of political interests that register non-affiliated because they don't want to be associated with the R's or the D's. But that's what underscores my belief that I don't think a Republican can get elected governor in this state because the registration is so skewed against them. When I'm in my own office on the weekends working, and I always am, I answer my own phone. And I use that as a kind of informal focus group, which is nothing scientific about that at all. It's just who calls. I'm getting as much support from Republicans as I am from Democrats. And I think there's a unique collection of circumstances that are driving disaffected R's and disaffected D's to look for a different solution. And I believe putting the people back in charge with a non-affiliated governor is exactly the pathway to do that.
So how active will you be during the primary campaign season when you're not on the ballot?
Well, we're going to be active. Most of us in public life think everybody knows who we are. They don't. And so we'll be in the process of running ads that will introduce me to Oregonians. We're doing a big media buy. We'll be up on social media. We'll be very active because people need to know that there's a third path here. And we want to do a very positive introduction of the authentic essential Betsy and what a third party non-affiliated candidate has to offer.
So do you plan to be traveling extensively around the state then?
Oh, you bet. You bet. My husband's still in the aviation business, and so I grew up in the helicopter business. I have access to airplanes. We were just down in Douglas County the other day and flew into your terrific airport. Your operator there is couldn't be more welcoming and kind, and we came in some kind of inclement weather, but the airport is terrific and well-equipped. So we were down there to visit with the truckers. We just finished a 3-day swing through southern Oregon that included Grants Pass and Medford. And so we'll be all over the state. We were out in Hermiston day before on Saturday, Friday and Saturday. We'll be everywhere. I believe that a governor cannot know what's going on in her state without being on the ground, meeting with people where they live and work, and hearing from real Oregonians about what's going on, not having it called into Salem and filtered through a bunch of bureaucrats. So I absolutely intend to be all over Oregon on the ground talking with folks.
About a minute left on Inside Douglas County. Former Democratic State Senator Betsy Johnson, now a non-affiliated candidate for governor. For people who want to learn more about you and your campaign, what's the best way to do that?
Go to runbetsyrun.com. That's our website. We'll be constantly adding to the material that's on that website. They can sign up to help with petitions, signs, helping to form local Betsy Brigade members that are going to be out supporting and getting the petition circulated. Oh, by the way, there's a donation button on that website, so they can send me a big sack of money. But that's the best way to make connection with the campaign, and we'll keep the people that sign up on that site constantly informed about what we're up to.
And let us know the next time you're in Douglas County, and we'll get you back on the radio.
I would welcome doing that. I'll come to the studio. You and I talked about your old employer, KUYK. I like that station a lot, and so I look forward to coming and sitting in your studio with you.
All right. Former State Senator Betsy Johnson, now non-affiliated candidate for Oregon governor. Thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
1258 Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.